the Dalis, his Malfuzats, his narrations, the extracts that were taken from his discourses and put into book form. And of course, the whole idea of reading from this kitab, the whole idea of going over these lessons is that we should develop a special bond with Allah. That is the purpose for which we've come here. We've come here to develop a special bond with Allah, which is the duty of each and every Muslim. Each and every Muslim has this compulsory duty of removing bad qualities, developing good qualities, and this is the only way of developing a proper contact with Allah. So instead of reading the correspondence last, normally we read the correspondence last, today I'm going to read the correspondence first, because this has got a big bearing on what we're going to read in the Mulfuz.
Mawlana Ahlullah writes to his Sheikh. This is very important. This is very important that one should have a continuous contact with one's Sheikh. The Sheikh is that person, you don't have to become bad, but that person whom you have chosen, who is a Sheikh al-Kamil, you have chosen him as a spiritual doctor to guide you along the path of suluk. So just like an ordinary patient will relate to his doctor all his problems, similarly the salik, the person taking the path of suluk, should communicate to his Sheikh all his particular situations or problems that he comes across. So he writes, Ye tamanna aur aazu hai. This is my desire, this is my wish, ke nafs ki tamam khabas sutur se bilkul paak ho jaun. That I should become completely paak, free, pure, purified from all the evils, the filth of the nafs. Now what is this nafs? For anybody who's newcomers, then just explain what is this nafs. Allah Ta'ala has created us with a body. In this body, Allah Ta'ala has put two forces. One is that of ruh, the other one is that of nafs. The ruh is that spiritual part of us that wants, that yearns to worship Allah, that wants to go back to Allah, that wants to live a pure life. Nafs is that force within us which Allah Ta'ala has put as a vehicle to take us to our destination. So the nafs is there to take us, just like the example given very often is that of a horse. A horse is there to take you to your destination. Right. But in order for you to be able to take it, to make use of that horse which has been wild has to be tamed. Once a horse is tamed and listens to each and every command of yours, then that horse will be able to take you to your destination. So this is the nafs. Once the nafs is trained and controlled, then you can make your journey to your destination, which is to develop this bond with Allah. So this is his wish, that all the evils of the nafs, he should be completely free from them, he should be purified from them. Uske liye Allah tabarak wa ta'ala se madad mangta hoon, and for this I make dua to Allah Ta'ala for help in doing this. Himmat bhi buland rakha hoon. And I have also kept my courage up. So this cannot be done just on effort. Effort is necessary, but this happens only with the madad, with the help of Allah Ta'ala. Without Allah Ta'ala's help, we can't do anything. So at the same time as making effort to add barakat to that effort, we make dua. So dua is important for any effort. Dua without effort is meaningless. Making an effort or not make dua, you are not really doing justice to your effort. So if the two go together, then you find we mood upon mood, you find blessings upon blessings in that effort. And of course, what we need, mentioned before, is himmat.
Right.
In order to be able to connect with Allah, only two real things are necessary: sincerity and courage. Sincerity is that we must have the intention that we must only please Allah and not His creation, except where Allah Ta'ala wants us to obey the creation, we have to obey the creation. But our basic objective is that we want to please Allah in whatever Allah Ta'ala wants us to do. And for this we need courage. Why courage? Because that horse, that nafs, doesn't like it. That nafs doesn't like to be constricted. That nafs doesn't like to be restricted. That nafs doesn't like to be told what to do. That nafs is one's freedom to do as it wishes. So we need spiritual strength, which means courage, in order to rein in that nafs. So courage is important, sincerity is important. And of course, then making the effort, and to put the cherry on top, we need to make that dua so that Allah Ta'ala can help us in our objective. So our Hazrat replies to him that Allah Ta'ala nawaze, may Allah Ta'ala bless you with what you wish for, bahut mubarak, and he's quite happy with his intention, objectives, and the way he's put it. Then he writes, nafs shaisa gore ki tarah zara ishara par paakar sambhal jata hai. So he's been through a whole process already, which we read previously, and he has managed to get his nafs under control. So he says his nafs is at this stage of his training, after all these exercises that he will put through, he has managed to get his nafs under control, just like a wild horse which has now been tamed, and just the moment it wants to go out of line, just a little bit of a ishara, just a little bit of a tug on the rein, or just a little bit of a knock on the belly with the heels of the foot, will get this horse to now come to order again and take him and not get distracted somewhere. Aur nafs ke saath har waqt bin nafs se qahar ka maamla rakha hoon. Uske bad zinni barabar hai. Uske makar waqe se barbar chukna rehta hoon. Now this is very, very important. This is very, very important. What he is saying, that he's managed to get his nafs under control, but he doesn't trust his nafs. He doesn't trust it one little bit. And therefore, he has an attitude of animosity towards his nafs. That, you know, just like a prisoner who's in prison, wants to make an out the moment the warder or the guard is off guard, he's going to make an out. Similarly, the watch over the nafs is in the same way. That he mustn't be given even a single little moment's opportunity to go out of control. And whenever the nafs says something, makes a suggestion, of course the nafs is making suggestions all the time. And the nafs obviously will make good suggestions, not only bad suggestions. When you're hungry, the nafs will tell you, look, it's time to eat. Eat something. So you've got to eat. When you're thirsty, if you're fasting, you don't eat, obviously. Then you don't listen to the nafs. Similarly, when you're thirsty, when you're cold, then you want something to warm you. So this is legitimate. There's nothing wrong with it. However, all the time, even if the nafs is making a positive, good suggestion, I've got my suspicions about him. What is he up to? And I check all round to make sure he hasn't got an ulterior motive in getting me to do what I want to do, what he suggests. So this is important. One has to come to realize what nafs is, firstly. One got to realize what the motivations of the nafs are, and we've got to understand if there's any ulterior motives that the nafs has got behind that you are unaware of. So we leave that somewhere and just bear that in mind, because now we're going on to the Malfuzat, which is very much related. The Shaykh, what is his duty? We said it's very important to communicate with the Shaykh regularly. So, Shaykh rok tok karta hai. So, the duty of the Shaykh is to reprimand and correct the Salik. Just like the doctor's duty is to tell the patient what to do, what not to do in order to get good health, someone, the Shaykh, has to tell the murid what to do, what not to do in order to get good spiritual health. So, a big amanah, a big trust on the Shaykh is that he must reprimand whenever he sees the Salik doing anything wrong. As the Tamir Hattah says, that if I see somebody has got 9 bad qualities and 1 good quality, some stranger, someone not connected to me, then I'll look at his good quality. I'll look at his good quality. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. You look at his good quality. He's got 9 bad qualities, 1 good quality. He's not related to me. He's not in any way connected to me. He's just somebody I know. Therefore, I'll only look at his good quality, not at his bad qualities. But if there is a salik, somebody who is my murid, somebody who has come for his Islam, somebody who wants to connect with Allah, if I see 9 good qualities in him and 1 bad quality, I'll ignore all the 9 good qualities and pick out the bad quality. So this is a Shaykh Kamil. Shaykh Kamil is going to do this very thing. So, Shaykh rok tok karta hai jab usko waqi maloom ho jata hai ke mushahade mein aata hai ya wo talib apne haal bayan karta hai. So this is the duty. If the Shaykh comes to know by actually witnessing something, or if the talib, the seeker himself, mentions something that needs correction, then it is the duty of the Shaykh to reprimand him, to correct him. I just want to stop here for one little thing. Last week I mentioned an interesting incident. For those who are not here, let me just repeat it. We were in Medina Sharif, just to briefly, and we were invited for breakfast. Mufti Muhammad Kangai Rahmatullahi was there, Grand Pandusam, Musa Pandusam, we were all there, we were invited. While we were waiting for breakfast, the host, the person who invited us, somebody who was Mufti Mehmood Sahib's murid, knowing that Mufti Mehmood Sahib doesn't drink coffee, he then started, in front of all of us, he tried to tell us how bad tea is. Mufti Sahib never drank tea, he only drank coffee, sorry. So Mufti Sahib only drank coffee or some other thing, but didn't drink tea. So this person knew this, that Mufti Sahib doesn't drink tea. So in front of everybody, he was telling Mufti Sahib, trying to impress Mufti Sahib to say that, look, tea does this to your tongue, it does this to your teeth, it has got this effect on your heart, it's got this effect. And we all just looked down and listened. And say, I don't know what's happening now. Mufti Sahib said nothing. When the breakfast got served, Mufti Sahib said, today I will have tea, contrary to his normal practice. Now the question arises, why did Mufti Sahib embarrass his host? We don't embarrass the host, do you? And this is exactly what Mufti Sahib did, is what our Hazrat says. That was his duty. Why? Because this was his murid. And what wrong did he do? You don't, when you invite guests and you're going to have something, you don't criticize what they're going to have. We don't criticize what we're going to have. He knew that we all drink tea drinkers. Why push it in our face that tea is like this and tea is like that? What's the purpose of inviting us if you feel that tea is so bad for us? So this was wrong of him. Secondly, obviously he was not going to drink tea. He was going to drink something else like Mufti Sahib. So the second point is that he thinks he is better than the rest of us because he doesn't drink tea. So he's got a superiority complex. And the Sheikh picks it up, just like that. Sheikh picked it up, and therefore he had to be cut down to size. He said, no, I'm not going to listen to your nonsense about tea, I'm going to have tea. So this is what he did. He corrected him, cut him down to size, and at the same time, made us all comfortable. If Mufti Mirzab is drinking tea, we don't need to have a guilt complex. We also want to drink tea. So you see how the Sheikh works. Right, so that's one way of doing it. Depending on the situation, depending on the circumstances, the Sheikh will use different different methodologies. This thing about embarrassing people, Hazrat Dr. Tayyusa mentioned to us that he had a knack of interpreting dreams, and sometimes Hazrat used to ask him, you know, what does he think about a particular dream? And he used to say, and one day they were in a masjid courtyard, and Hazrat mentioned a particular dream, and Hazrat said that, you know, I think the dream means like this. Dr. Tanisha, what got into him? He says he doesn't know what got into him. He took an opposite view. He said, no, the dream means this, this, and this, and this. So in front of everybody, Hazrat says, no, you are right and I am wrong. Hazrat says, you are right and I am wrong. And when your Sheikh says that, you will feel as if the crown should open and swallow you, because it's such a slap. When the Sheikh says that you are right and he is wrong, it's a slap in your face. So sometimes the Sheikh has to do it publicly, otherwise we get swollen headed, but he has got to cut us down to size all the time. So what does the Sheikh do? Majlis ke andar rok tok hoti rehti hai. So in the majlis is not for entertainment. Our Hazrat has a tantra says, this is no cinema. It's not there to entertain you, but it is there as a hospital to for the Sheikh to treat us who have come there as sick people, spiritually sick, and we are there to be treated. So that's what the Sheikh's duty is. So what does he do? مختلف قسم کی باتیں تصحیح تذکیہ تخلیہ کی آیات سے احادیث سے تعامل اولیاس کے واقعات سے حکایت سے سامنے آتی رہتی ہے. سو یوزنگ ہز ٹیکٹ یوزنگ ہز وزڈم یوزنگ ہز اسکلز ہز ایکسپرٹیز ہی ول ناٹ ڈائریکٹلی ٹیل اے پرسن لک واٹ یو آر ڈوئنگ از رانگ ایکسپٹ لائک آئی سیڈ ان اسپیشل سرکمسٹانسز دس از ناٹ. But generally in a majlis, Hazrat won't take anybody's name. But he will, if he notice somebody has done something wrong, then he will bring it out by quoting a hadith or quoting Quran Sharif, or he will mention some narration of some wali, some awliya Allah, some of the sahaba, some of the anbiya al-islam. He will mention some qissa or other which is now relevant to that person. Now the person himself here now must be able to see and tell himself that, look, I must hang on to every word that the Sheikh says, because I don't know which part of the majlis he's going to say something which is going to be relevant to me and which will be of my benefit to me. Aur woh sunte rehte hain, har ek apne apne darje par sunta baitha hua hai, apne aap ko parakhta hai. So this is, each person is supposed to listen attentively, he's got to introspect all the time, he's got to judge, he's got to see whether what the Sheikh is saying applies to me or not. Apne andar achhai ki topic ilahi se paakar uske mazboot karne ki koshish karta rehta hai. If he hears something that the Sheikh has said which is already in him, which has already managed to bring into his character, some good quality he's brought in, then his intention should be that with the tawfiq of Allah, he should try and make it firm and try and see that it becomes more embedded than what it is. Buraiyon se apne aap ko bachane ki, nikalne ki koshish would take better work at time. And if he sees any wrongdoings within himself, when he sees any faults within himself, then he will take out, he will make an effort to take out that particular fault that is in him. Or wo matlab hota rehta hai. Yahan tak ki uske saath koi badsuluki karta hai to wo kuch khayal nahi karta. And he keeps on reminding himself, he keeps on telling himself and correcting himself until he reaches such a stage that if anybody behaves badly towards him and he is not perturbed at all, he is not at all concerned. And let me just mention a kisa which Rashid Bhai reminded me of, that our Hazrat told us. There was this Buzruk, our Hazrat mentioned this, Buzruk in Medina Sharif. Very simple person, gula gala person. Whenever he used to go shopping, he used to take his little bag of money with him, go to the shop counter, whatever he wants to buy, he bought. When it came to time for him to pay, he just emptied the whole bag of money on the counter, and the shopkeepers knew him, knew he was a Buzruk also, and of course, whatever money he owed, they would take out, and the rest of the money he would put back into his little bag and go home walking with it in his hand. One day, as he had finished his shopping and he was going home, somebody came from the back and grabbed his bag of money and ran away. The Buzruk didn't even look back. So this person ran quickly into an alley, thinking he was being followed. Nobody was following him. Anyway, he ran, trying to get home. The alley ended in a cul-de-sac, dead end. He retraced his step, went into another alley. That alley ended also in a cul-de-sac, in a dead end. Tried another alley. Whichever alley he tried to go into, each one ended in a cul-de-sac, in a dead end. After a while, it struck him. He says, I've messed around with the wrong person. This is that person's karama, that I can't find my way home. So what's the best thing to do? Go and apologize, give him back his money. He knew where the Buzruk stayed, so he went back, knocked on the door, no answer. Nobody's coming out. Knocked harder, nobody's coming out. With the noise, the neighbors came out. What's happening? No, this is what happened. I stole his money, but now I want to return him, the money to him, but he's not coming out. So people say, what kind of person is he? He doesn't want to take his money back. So they also started banging, and eventually the Buzruk came. So they came to Buzruk, this person, he admits that he stole your money, he's now sorry, he's not trying to return your money. Why didn't you open? Here's the money, why don't you take it now? So the Buzruk says, it's not my money. So everybody got surprised. How can he say it's not his money? Here's the thief, he admits he stole it. And now the Buzruk is not his money. So how can you say it's not your money? Here's the thief, he says he stole your money, he wants to return it. So the Buzruk said, and this is the point, he said, the moment he grabbed the money out of my hand, I said, Ya Allah, I'm giving it to him as a gift. Ya Allah, I'm giving it to him as a gift. Now that I've given him to as a gift, how can I say it's my money? It's his money now. So I can't take it back, it's his money. And now they all were quite impressed, obviously, with the Buzruk. And the thief said, Hazrat, there's one more thing. I appreciate you giving me the money, but there's one more thing. Yes, what is it? Please make dua that I can find my way home again. The Buzruk made dua and managed to get find his home. Right, so this is what happens. That, as I also said, that no matter how somebody acts against you, you have reached that stage that is like water off your back, off a duck's back. Like water off a duck's back. Makes no impression on you. It doesn't affect you in any way. People can swear at you, he can abuse you, they can, no matter what they say, as long as you know what you are doing is there according to Allah Ta'ala's order and Allah Ta'ala is pleased with you. Like I said right in the beginning, just one majlis is sufficient for anybody who wants to make a real connection with Allah Ta'ala. This majlis that our Hazrat has mentioned here is sufficient to go and revise again. Our objective in this dunya is to make his ibadat. Allah Ta'ala has created man and jinn to make his ibadat. Ibadat in this case doesn't mean that we just make namaz and read tasbih and say namaste. No, ibadat means that we must develop ma'rifat. Ma'rifat means to come to know who Allah is and come to know what He wants from us and to do what He wants. So as far as ibadat is concerned, we've got, this is a dunya asbab, we've got to earn our halal earning, that is also one of His orders. So we've got to earn our halal living, we've got to fulfill hukukullah and hukukul ibad, the rights of Allah, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, zikr, tilawat, all these things are hukukullah. Then we've got to fulfill the rights of the creation, and here firstly is ourselves, the rights of our nafs, the rights of our families, our children, our neighbors, fellow Muslims, non-Muslims, the rights of animals, the rights of inanimate objects as well, so-called inanimate objects as well. Right. So then it boils down. If one is now fulfilling all the hukukul law, the next most important thing is to see that we've got to fulfill hukukul ibad. And of this, hukukul ibad is very important. Allah Ta'ala, on the day of Qiyamah, He may forgive us if we have shortcomings as far as hukukul law is concerned. But when it comes to hukukul ibad, the rights of the creation, there the creation will be compensated. There the creation will be compensated. In other words, those rights will not be overlooked. So this is what it boils down to. In order to be able to do this, we can't do it on our own, because we've got, as we mentioned, we've got two enemies. We've got nafs and we've got shaitan. And in order to save ourselves from nafs and shaitan, how to be able to do this, we need sincerity, we need courage, and we need a sheikh to guide us. Somebody who has already traveled the path, he knows all the pitfalls, he knows all the shortcuts, he knows all these things, and therefore, by following him, our journey will be easy. If we don't have a sheikh, we may eventually get there, but in the meantime, we are going to battle. We are going to battle tremendously if we don't have a sheikh at Kamil. And it mustn't happen if those people don't have a sheikh, they can even be misled into other avenues and into going astray. And so once you've come to that point where you've got a sheikh at Kamil, then the next step is ittila wa ittiba. Then you've got to keep on informing of your progress or lack of progress. You've got to inform him of the positive things you've managed to do since you made contact with him. At the same time, you've got to make him aware of your deficiencies, of your shortcomings, where you still need to pull up your socks. You've got to mention that to him, get his methodology, get his du'as. So that in a nutshell is what this whole exercise is all about, to create a bond with Allah. This is the methodology. Allah Ta'ala give us all proper understanding. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the special bond, this what's called nisbat, ma Allah. May Allah Ta'ala make easy for us and keep us in His protection. Put out this.